Rinpoche request. Rinpoche requests everyone to begin with engendering the enlightened attitude, which is to give rise to the wish to strive to attain perfect Buddhahood in order to be able to aid all beings in number vast as space. And so to that end, one resolves to listen to, reflect, and meditate upon the teachings energetically.
Tene sanje jo kompa dobar seba la tene khela ganna jor nyam se lingo.
So in order to attain Buddhahood, one has to practice calm abiding and penetrative insight.
Tene khela ganna jor tenya khirab jo pharu de sembe khela ganna jor nyam se lingo.
So with respect to the practice of calm abiding and penetrative insight, it has to, these practices has to be related to the Prajna Paramita.
Tina tugong hirap je paru de simbe simba dunja betsike jihume.
So today Rinpoche will explain a verse from a text called the 700 Shlokas of the Prajna Paramita.
Tina hirap je paru de simba dunja pale chu kana lawam Zoom, Drova Manchipane, Hirab de Paradis and Bagomba Lasso, Hisumba.
So, meditation, with meditation on the Prajna Paramita, is meant when one practices without any grasping, rejection, or adoption with respect to phenomena. So, one do not grasp, reject, or adopt phenomena in any way.
Tene tsikete kapso hirab je paru de simbe nyamni de landol lende par tin tembare sumbare.
So this verse then says that with respect to the practice of the Prajna Paramita is meant a practice beyond accepting and rejecting.
Hirab je paru de simbe Gom tartol and jokes, chedo, woman lander, genyamling gogre, hirab je paru de simbe nyamling, mama te lander lendebari.
So, with respect to enable one to enter the path of this ultimate aspect of the Prajna Paramita, practicing this ultimate aspect, it's necessary to begin with a practice that involves acceptance and rejection. In order to be able to develop and further on meditate upon or practice the ultimate aspect of the Prajna Paramita.
Chetan khirab je paru de simba tela rangin khersen lam khersen deva khersen som yobare te som jina ne rangin khersen se jute kyu tam je je rangin truba da trabe tungba nila
So, with respect to the Prajna Paramita, there are three aspects of it. One is termed the natural Prajna Paramita, and then we have that of the path and that of the result or effect. And the first one, then, with that is meant emptiness beyond mental fabrications, a state in which there are no mental fabrications.
Lam khesen ki tonde karrese na, lam khesen ki savate, rangin khesen chu tamje jene lok trupa da travare, te ngon som de tope, tene hirab la rangin khesen segre.
So,
hirabam yehi.
The path aspect then of the prajna paramita involves the transcendental knowledge through which one realizes that all phenomena are beyond mental fabrications, they are empty of mental fabrications. So that is the second aspect, that of the path. So the aspect of fruition or result then is the omniscience of a Buddha, the wisdom of an omniscient Buddha. So with respect to the quote from the 700 verses of the Prajna Paramita, speaking of that the practice of the Prajna Paramita should be a practice beyond acceptance and rejectance, then that is related to the first aspect of the Prajna Paramita, the natural one. So the reason for stating a practice beyond acceptance and rejectance is then that the object of rejection, the object of acceptance, both lack inherent existence. So with respect to that, or in that relation, one speaks of a practice being beyond acceptance and
rejectance.
So there is a certain difference with respect to acceptance, being free of acceptance and rejectance in meditation and in the post-meditational phase.
So,
with respect to this practice in relation to meditational equipoise, then the first aspect of the Prajnaparamita, being the natural one, is that one then rest mind in a sphere or state free of mental fabrications, a state of simplicity, and simultaneously the second aspect of the Prajnaparamita, that of the path, takes place, and that practice is beyond conceptual processes. It's not a conceptual one. So this is to say that the subject, being a mind free of mental constructs, it refers to a state free of mental fabrications, and the object of meditation then being emptiness beyond mental fabrications. Both these then take place simultaneously during meditative equipoise. And so the true nature of all phenomena being emptiness, then that is the first aspect of the Prajnaparamita. These two aspects then, the first one is then the object, the second, that of the path, is then the subject. And with respect to the realization of these two aspects, they have the subject and object, then have to be the realization of these two then has to be So the direct realization of these two then involves the absence of any apprehension of a subject and object. So there is no duality within that realization, and Rinpoche gives the example of pouring water into water. They merge, it merged together, comes one. So there is no apprehension of a subject and an object. So the Prajnaparamita is then extremely difficult to realize or fathom, and the reason for this is then that there has to be the realization of the Prajnaparamita has to be one which doesn't involve any dualistic apprehension, so there is no duality of subject and object. So, as was said before, the Prajnaparamita is something difficult to realize or fathom. But if one arrives at a realization of the Prajnaparamita, then it has a very great meaning, for the reason that that in itself is Buddhahood.
Then, Ta jitob so landur me ba de karres na jitob je kap so dembar khembe landur me bares
so with
yar ja to khirab je parde se ton to na jitob je na matam je tene nan sa na dong yin mi do khar ge yere juma ta var to pe se na tene dembar khembe landur me
So, with respect to the practice of being beyond or lack of acceptance and rejectance in the post-meditational phase, then involves that one sees everything as an illusion. Everything lacks inherent existence. There is only mere appearance, which is to say that one experiences or practices emptiness and appearance as inseparable.
Tene lan kesin, lan kirab je parad sin ba tengo du chirba yina. Tene jitob je nama de juma tabo yin, malam tabo re samba dunba si ma gu pa rang yin je tene danda juma. Juma Malanta Vitini Karasiguru Nyamyungu.
So then if one directly or evidently realizes the path aspect of the Prajna Paramita, then in that case, in the post-meditational phase, whatever appearance one encounters or experiences will be experienced as an illusion, as a dream. It doesn't involve the aspiration or conceptual approach of thinking of appearance as a dream or an illusion. Appearances are directly experienced as such.
Then lanchir lanchir saying the trola danda teaching concept samba the ninja sanjo just same to suyogo.
So in addition to the practice mentioned of the path aspect of the Prajna Paramita, it is necessary to develop love and compassion as well along with it.
Tene ta samnyi ji sanjuk ji sende mina tene tabdan khirab nika tabdan khirab songdo majuk na tabdan khirab songdo majuk besena
So then if one lack the practice of love and compassion, the enlightened attitude, this then means that means and wisdom are not practiced together. So one is lacking in one aspect of the practice, and for that reason one will not be able to attain Buddhahood.
Tena nga tsu lanji kaab su thakhi sumdo sondon jopi nyamni sepa lati nte devu kaab su tene kunyi sondon jopi devu to thore.
If one then during the path practices means and wisdom together, this will have as a result when one becomes enlightened that one attains the two bodies of a Buddha.
Ti tanda Shiraj Parada Simba Dunja Pe Tike La Jarte Tini Tike Jiton Dordu Jiki.
So this was then a brief explanation on a quote from a text called the 700 Shlokas of the Prajna Paramita.
Tini ta khirab je phar de se benyamni yan da pa yung yo da me pa ta norwa ta norwa yung me yo pa da me pa te sanje je kala sanje je ka yer ya gu be se na den ta da yo gu ya da da den den
shirchin din ja pa de san di kares
re re
so
etre re shirchin dun ja pe tike yo gu ya te Kira je parada simba ti nyamni sepa kapso nontro yon sige yores. Te kale sanje je kande je somdo
So then with respect to the practice of the Prajnaparamita, when one evaluates one's practice to see whether it is correct or not, one should base one's evaluation on the words of the Buddha. So for this reason, Rinpoche explained this verse from this text, which is the words of the Buddha.
Tene chetan sanje je song tele yang rangi khirap chetak chetan chowe.
So generally speaking, one may well investigate and examine the teachings of the Buddha.
Tene tak chetan mayin par rangi gom jate nyam nyong teng niyang tako.
So it should not be just an intellectual examination of the teachings of the Buddha. One should base one's examination upon experience, personal experience acquired through meditation. So you can ask questions if you have.
Zungze ni se me ba te tanda mlanje kapso nge pe pe goni kebe mlanje kapso
indicate la ko
ore chana thaba re.
Well, I was asking about the fact of subject and object, the possibility of experiencing those as being not two, non-dualistic experience of subject. How is that possible? Because when we experience through our senses, then the experiencer and the experienced object seems to happen naturally. When we look out through our eyes, everything appears something other than ourselves, and this seems to happen quite naturally. So how is it possible to get rid of this idea of subject-object?
Zungzin, Chirtana Sungze Nyimi se jute se zume yortan nang zembe sem te tade da nana ya tade da meba te rikpe dhob tugu yore Chirtana Sungze Nyi namdo te rangi ji yungu yore te yin ya Sungze Nyi se meba te rikpe dhob kugu yore akusun Chirtana ke Zungzenimi dan Hirab de Parodis and Benyamin, the capso, Bomba capso, your genius may be a tenilla, if I hear it. Oh.
Oh yeah, that teacher and Jordan. Oh yeah.
So in order to get to the bottom of this, in order to understand the non-difference between the subject-objects or the lack of duality between them, then one has to examine them with logic. The examination is necessary.
Well, there is a certain difference with respect to what is generally meant with the non-duality of subject and object, and that during practicing or meditating upon the Prajnaparamita. So with respect to that aspect of meditation, then there is the object of meditation being emptiness beyond mental fabrications, a state of simplicity, and the subject, and these two, and that the subject then is a mind free of mental fabrications. So these two, the object of meditation and the subject, merge together just as water is poured into water. So that is then with respect to the meditational aspect. And then generally we have subject and object, external objects, and the internally perceiving mind, the percept and the perceiver. And these two then are experienced as different, but through logic or reasoning, one can establish these two as non-dualistic.
But in the Buddhism, they say that appearances doesn't exist, it doesn't count very much because they're just appearances.
Mm-hmm.
But in the other way, like art, mm-hmm. like you know, paintings, colors, it's very important in Buddhism. So it seems that on the first. It's contradictory, but it sure is not.
Yeah, yeah. The Nangpe lu la drumte won't say na ten nangwa de la ngoisung tsisung shida chege omares. Nangwa sam res taparsung dus. The ina yang luxo de la yang da kutang mang putukala. Digi kado tang softa. Kanga, detso kanga la kechenbu shira segiyo reis. Detso kalva tongiyoz. Shugendo.
Tanga.
Re kutang dan kunra dan da chuisham da minrava mangpu to kala. Ka kang nang la. Kado minrava ta. Tene nang wat sam yina de kechenbu segoya da kurang galva tongiyoz.
Tender
So when one speaks of mere appearance, then in Buddhism, this is then meant there being no true or real existence. So this is to say then that all appearances, they come into existence due to the collective force of causes and conditions. So all these paintings, statues and so forth that one finds in temples, then symbolize that. And the deities painted in the tankas usually have a rainbow around them. And so this is then also a symbol or something which symbolizes appearance and emptiness as inseparable, the lack of inherent existence. So all these elaborated paintings and so forth then symbolizes the lack of inherent existence, there being nothing but the coming together of causes and conditions.
Zukta Taro Rigsa La Sopa Danyung De Ka Ma Gupa Lan Da Chin Tope Chet Tope Chuen Dong Yang Yore.
So then with respect to these paintings, they are often made of or ornamented with silk, brocade and so forth. And so if one then has a certain understanding of the nature of things or phenomena, one will see that this symbolizes there being no need to try to obstruct or prevent oneself from enjoying sensual gratifications, if then one has an understanding of their true nature, being the lack of inherent existence.
Then chepar do sangak lokta ba sena danda nga so kowa la tapa da mada ba na so su na na ya then ngowo ne lo ngoma te takwa ram jang yin ba de ba.
So then particularly in the Vajrayana tradition, it is taught that the essence of existence or phenomena is universal purity, though one now at this point conceives of existence as pure and impure. One has both these concepts. So in spite of having such concepts, the essential quality of existence is universal purity. So the reason for this statement is then that the essence of mind is clarity, it is total purity, in spite of there temporarily being positive qualities such as love and compassion, and negative qualities such as aversion and so forth. So in spite of these types of qualities, the essence of mind or its essential quality is clarity, it is total purity. So then the true nature of mind, or the nature of mind then, is clarity. It is sameness or equality, which is also termed purity. And when one realizes this equality or sameness, then all impure confusion or deception is exhausted, and the purity of mind or its fundamental nature, clarity, is realized or experienced.
Tene tena yin ta da tangan da so la sem jing o takpa yin be chuen don ta nyom mo ba tonga te so ngo takpa yin be chuen don da ten chuen don mong bo yin
nyom mo de so yang o takpa yin pa
re re sem jing o takpa yin ba tin nyom mo ngo ngo yang ngo ne lo yang takpa re ten de chuen don mong bo yin.
So these different paintings then symbolize different things, such as the essence of mind is purity, and for that reason the essential quality or essence of disturbing emotions as well is purity. So that is then what these paintings and so the other things symbolize. Then if certain individuals have attachment to these or not, that's another thing.
Never
mind. And so towards that end, one resolves his position to reflect and meditate upon the teachings energetically.
It's not my problem.
So in order to attain Buddhahood, it is necessary to do two practices. One is meditative absorption, called space-like absorption, and one refers to the post-meditative state, and it's termed illusion-like practice. So with respect to the first one, space-like samadhi, one should rest in a state free of mental
fabrications.
Kanga gyuma
na tosu na na ya don tamba ni ni je ma do pa
sa la she na den me pa da bu tong indus
ni hi ne pa de ni hi yo pa
den me jo gre.
So with respect to the second aspect of practice then termed illusion like samadhi, then through the force of one's meditative absorption, the first one termed space-like samadhi, in the post-meditative phase, one gains certainty with regard to the true nature or ultimate aspect of phenomena, being if an illusion-like illusion-like, even though they appear in various forms,
illusion-like
in their very appearance,
then that illusion-like person within the very appearance obtain an illusion-like result.
The true nature is that phenomena are like an illusion.
And
so similarly, due to accumulating illusion-like spiritual merit, one attains
so
illusion-like
Buddhahood.
Buddha himself has stated in one sutra that whoever knows the skandhas to be like an illusion, then understand that illusion is nothing else but
well,
Skanda,
what he's saying,
the skandhas as well are nothing else but illusion, and free from conceptualizing various appearances, one experiences peace, and that is the supreme conduct of the Prajna Paramita. So then one should understand the five skandhas to be illusion-like. Even though that this illusion appear in various forms, these illusions have no essence or essential quality. So even though these five skandhas appear in a variety, even though they appear as a variety, they have no true or real existence. One cannot establish them as a thing. By stating that illusion is no other than the skandhas, and the skandhas is no other than illusion,
one doesn't start to function, or one's activity will not be meaningless.
That statement means that
rather the opposite, because
neither of them
one's suffering will decrease due to
with respect to
that
neither
one
of them
do
an
not
essence
conceive
or
of reality as truly
established.
And by
so
that,
in that
or
respect,
through that realization,
the
then one will come to experience an open state of mind.
So it's not at all
without
meaning. So then by saying that these two are not different, with that is meant that both of them come into existence due to the collective force of causes and conditions. So this then one can relate to one's personal experience through considering the dream state. Then to say
so
that
suffering
will
decrease,
one asks
one
oneself
that
then
one
if
will come
everything is like an illusion,
an relaxed state
how
of
come
mind,
that one
and
has
this is
feelings
then comparable
such as
to
those of sorrow or suffering,
the case in
and
which
one says
not
one should relate
realize
that,
that one
to
is dreaming,
the dream
one doesn't
state
recognize
the
dream
of a dream
what it is, and in consequence experiences suffering, but when recognition occurs or takes place, then the suffering in the dream will decrease due to that recognition.
So then, with respect
and
to the dream
state, state of mind will be open and relaxed.
Even though that feelings in a dream state lack inherent existence, they are nothing but an expression of the confusion of mind, deception. In spite of this, one experiences them
so
as
if one were to dream
as
that one were eaten up by a tiger.
If one is not aware of that this is nothing but a dream, the suffering experienced will be as great as the suffering we would experience if eaten by a tiger during the day or in the waking state. But the moment one realizes that this is nothing but a dream, then the suffering will vanish. So therefore it seems important that one starts with understanding that suffering is illusion-like.
So
because all sentient beings seems to be more interested in that suffering like inherent existence, and that happiness is truly existent. Most people, when being struck by great suffering, are very happy to conceive of this suffering as a dream, are inclined to believe that this suffering is nothing but a dream. But when the opposite happens, i.e. that one is very happy, then people seem more inclined to conceive of that as truly existent.
Oh, then. Yeah, that's what
I was thinking, you always had this example of as a dream. I mean, you have the physical body, and we should consider it as an illusionary in a post-meditative place. And it's a very good example of a dream. But like, if one gets eaten by tiger in a dream, then it doesn't hurt. Maybe in the dream it hurts, but we know it doesn't really hurt. But isn't this, and that's sort of the extreme of being enlightened and not being enlightened in some way. Understand what I mean?
No.
I mean, the training between those things, I was thinking of the different levels. If we take something like something that hurts on a normal level as a normal human being, if I got bit myself in the arm, for example, it would hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a really accumulated or develop some amount of realization, you know, would it hurt a little bit less?
Oh, I see what you mean.
The different, we always talk about as if it's sort of black and white. There must be some level of training, because also I've heard many people, you know, it sounds as if they're trying to convince themselves that everything is like an illusion. But it isn't, you know, if you stuck a knife in them, it would really hurt, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Understand what I mean?
Yeah, so you want to know whether there is kind of an in-between level where...
Yeah, different stages of...
Yeah.
I'm sure it's difficult.
But not in the dream, during the day.
No, the dream thing, that's understood.
Yeah. Där så också kevina.
Vad är?
Tre gavina. Jag menar så gavina.
Det är
det. Tänne nagindus.
Vad är det?
Ti bo palpa maimpa, pakpa impa.
Pakpa, pakpa.
Pakpa impa.
Pakpa impa.
Pakpa impa.
Ja.
Tänne
pakpa gina.
Gina. Trigabna da dungal den där har chan chushan på jongi redan medan da så so kive kapsogi dungal dan chipa jongi redan medan de mikashi ina da kanga gyuma yin dympa chushan på chene chöma da på res konsula trigabna hako jong
jore
chugindus
det
tene chevo Pakpaina, den där på Kikjöda medan där, dungaldig i Chechung.
Där kan det gå.
Den där på Jöreve.
Så kivå dungade, mellan och mig kivå dungade av och tam, pakpa dungade, mellan och kivå dungade av och jag var där.
Well, it seems... That the You won't get away from the example of a dream. Well, in the case, he says, in the case of an ordinary person. Who is then stuck by a knife, then the suffering experienced can be compared to the suffering experienced in a dream when not recognizing that one is dreaming. And in the case of a person with some amount of realization, then the suffering experienced would be compared to the suffering experienced when struck by a knife in the dream, but recognizing that it's nothing but a dream. So there is this difference. So then meditation on emptiness aims at eliminating the apprehension of things as true or real. So if one considers one's environment, it appears as truly existent, as solid and real, but it doesn't mean that is the case. So if we again considers the dream, then whatever one dreams of appear as true or real, but it isn't, it's only a dream.
So,
so it is only through mental imputation or conceptual processes that we conceive of existence as true or real. In fact, the very concept in itself lacks inherent existence. So both existence and the perception of existence as real or true lack inherent existence. So there are two indications of there being no true existence of concepts, that concepts are not real or solid. One is that they change constantly. The second is The second is that if one resorts to investigating the nature of or the essence of this concept, one will see that there is nothing to be found existent as such. One cannot find this concept existent as such. One can't point it out in any way. So these are the two indications of that concepts lack inherent existence, that they are not real or solid. So one example of concepts that change is then that one may conceive of somebody as one's enemy, but this relationship may turn into friendship, and so one's concept of the person change and one sees it as a friend.
So if
the case was that concepts are truly existent, it would follow that from the moment one sees somebody as one's enemy, that person could never turn into one's friend. That relationship could never turn into friendship, and so by the fact that this is not the case, then one can see that concepts lack inherent existence. So if we consider concepts in this way, their constant change, we can also come to understand that through practicing profound means, we are able to control your grief.
Tene tapsamo nyamsulana namto te namdo payan ta kyan ke namdo yotwe.
We can see that there is the possibility of changing narrow-minded conceptual processes into an open and relaxed state of mind.
Tene ngoy ji jiwa tamba so tambo dunga chembo chi nyumong chembo chi tesu chyo nyamne sepa le tene tene ji so payan ta kyan ke tene song mangbo yores.
So there are stories of holy persons in the past that started out as very negative persons, having very strong emotions and so forth, but through their practice changed these emotions and so forth into an open and relaxed state of mind, and this we can learn from the songs composed by them. What you're supposed to do when you recognize that you dream?
Me, me lang mo she sheva ina, tani kare che gorais. Mo she pe kapsu.
Me lang mo she na. Tela Mana Mohi na Mana Janama de Payang the Koyang Zoko.
So then one should turn one's
Payang the Koyang Chapanazo Zoko. Karsena Nika Kayam Payang the Koyang Chap.
One should try to develop an open and relaxed state of mind. When that happens?
So,
if one recognizes that one is dreaming, then one should avoid any attachment towards either happiness or
sorrow.
With respect to the Vajrayana, there is a practice through which one is then enabled to emanate and transform oneself at will.
Tene trujur la yapo kombayina tene sanje ji hengam la yan roto be trujur toguir.
So if one develops this practice thoroughly, one will be able to travel to enlightened realms.
Parse sanje ji kengal ndro madam na ya mala ngo hi na tene por nam kala por nam por to bayu. Re ya te ka
re ni ne konsekwenza
to kenza bayu mare zor to bare.
So, even though one may not be able to develop the practice to such a point that one is able to travel to enlightened realms, one may be able to fly throughout space. So the reason for this ability to fly in space is that in the dream one has only a mental body, one doesn't have a gross physical form made up by blood and flesh. So then when one does not recognize that one is dreaming, then the experience of one's body will be the opposite, namely one will experience it as heavy, and this is due to concepts. So for these reasons, then one can see that concepts are very strong. So even though concepts are very strong, if one practices profound means, one is able to transform them. So even though the concept as the dream being real, i.e. one doesn't recognize the dream for what it is, though this concept is very strong, the moment recognition occurs, this concept change.
Tena tundan tongba nye de shina kunzob du juma tabir shigre tundan tongba nye de kunzob du juma tabir shina tedar mato besim jin na na tene nyingi na yinji keba song.
So it is said that when one realizes emptiness being the ultimate aspect of existence and the conventional aspect, when one realizes both these, then compassion for all sentient beings that have not arrived at such realization will arise.
Oh, yeah.